You are listening to the YLM Sermon of the Week podcast with Pastor Steve Tolbert. Be blessed and refreshed by this relevant word from the Lord.
The Lord is awesome. The Lord is magnificent. And there's no one like him.
Lord God, we thank you for this time and your word. We ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, might counsel the fear of the Lord, the anointing of God. A keen discernment, the tongue of the learned, activates the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we just praise you right now for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord. Lord, we surrender to your power. We surrender to your love. We surrender to that you are. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence that abides not only with us, but in us. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the power, the love, the peace. We just thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to look at Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. And it reads like this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Amen. You may be seated. As we think about what God has been reminding us about on his fast, and I know the anchor scripture is Isaiah 58, but even when you look at the first few verses of Isaiah 58, the number one key is a theme of surrender. And you got the reminders throughout the week, and I know some of them didn't feel warm and fuzzy. You know, it's like somebody just came and stomped on your toes, I know. But the number one thing I wanted everybody to see was the fact that while a lot of times we come into fast thinking that it's all about us, have we surrendered ourselves to the notion that God may have more in store that we need to tap into and align ourselves with during times of consecration? Because the whole thing I want everybody to always understand is that our spiritual efforts or activities are useless if they only serve us. If the reason why you fast is because you need something from God, you want breakthrough from God, but then somebody next to you is suffering, why have you done it? Even in Isaiah 58, the one thing that it says is, it says, you think that just because you're doing a performance, that's enough. But then, not only do you do what you want, but you mistreat people. Wow. So that means that you haven't even aligned yourself with God's heart for humanity. You're just looking for what you can get out of it. And so today, I want everybody to think about what it means to have a surrendered life. Because when we think about our society and the fact that everything is always about self-assertion, I gotta get me and mine. You know, like even motivational speakers, right? Like they're talking to you about self-empowerment. Everything is focused and centered on the self. But when we think about life in God, right, the disciple's life is not a life that is merely focused on the self, but it's a life that is focused on God's interest. As a matter of fact, when he gave the disciples in the scriptures, he gave them the power to lay hands on the sick, not just because if they get a paper cut, they can just lay hands on themselves and get healed, but so that they can look at the suffering, those that are in pain, those that are oppressed, and be the answer that those people have been praying for. And so Paul here, he says, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. And so we need to understand that surrender to God is the most courageous act of faith that we can demonstrate. Any person in Scripture that has been used mightily of God has had to have practiced the life of surrender. You think about Moses, and think about this. Everybody that God wants to use always has an excuse why he shouldn't use them. Like, we think about that. Moses said, why would you want to use me? I don't speak eloquently. I have a stammer, so I might mess up your message. And think about Paul. He said that he was the chief of sinners. Anybody that has ever been used mightily of God has had to practice surrender. And so the surrendered life is the life that God has been waiting for you to live. The first thing we need to understand about surrender is that it begins with an intentional presentation of yourself. That's why he says, I urge. That word urge means that it is a, okay. So when he says, I urge you, right? That's not a cold command. He's not saying you have to. But he's making a plea to them, right? He's making a plea to them. And so that word urge is made up of two words. One means alongside, and the kaleo means to call. And so when you think about this, he's saying this, I am coming alongside you and pleading with you from a place of deep pastoral care. Please do this. It's an invitation. He's given an invitation to the believer. He's not saying, I want you to present yourself and I'm not going to do it. But he's saying, I understand what it means. I understand what you feel, the reservation you feel in your heart. You're afraid of losing control. And so he says, present. And so the way he wants them to present themselves is the same way that a priest would bring a sacrifice and place it before God at the altar. It's a deliberate, intentional, volitional act. You don't accidentally surrender to God. Surrender is a choice. And so as we go through this consecration, the one thing I want you to always think is, am I intentionally, voluntarily presenting myself to the Lord to be used by him, to know what is on his heart, his mind, not for myself, but how am I going to be a blessing to the people around me, even if I don't like them? That, I mean, come on now, like Jesus was part of a group that was being oppressed by the Romans, but when the Roman centurion came to him, he didn't turn him away. So are you able to be open for God to use you to be a blessing to the people that don't like you? So one preacher once said that the problem with a living sacrifice is the fact that it keeps crawling off the altar. So every morning before our feet hit the floor, we need to surrender our life and our day to God. I remember reading in My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. He said, "It is a tremendous thing to be delivered from the dominion of self and to know that there is someone greater than you to lead." And so daily we have to practice surrender. I mean, you may have had one of those services where you cry and you snot and you just, "Lord, I give you my life," and all that. And then the next week you're back to leading your own self. So it's something that you can't forget to do every day. And so the next thing we need to understand is that surrender requires transformation, not confirmation. And so in 12 verse 2, he says what? "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so we need to understand this, that the renewing of the mind is when your life, not your physical self, but your spirit is radically transformed. Just like, think about in Matthew 17, when Jesus was, it says what? "Jesus on a mountain, his appearance was radically altered. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light." So Paul is saying that our surrender should achieve metamorphosis. Not just surface level, but a radical inward spirit-driven transformation. And so that renewing of the mind, it means a complete renovation. A complete renovation. Making something new again. It is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God to reshape how you think, how you perceive, how you evaluate, and how you respond. Have you had an encounter this week that showed an old response? We need to think about that. Radical transformation. It's a renovation, complete renovation. So the surrendered life demands a disciplined mind. You cannot expose your mind to everything the culture offers and expect to discern the will of God. What you consume shapes what you become. That's why the scripture says, guard your heart. Because out of it flows what? The issues of life. So guard your mind with scripture, prayer, worship, and Holy Spirit-saturated community. As you do this, God will bring extraordinary clarity to your purpose, your decisions, and your destiny. So if you want to know the purpose, plan, and destiny God has for your life, then you need to surrender enough to God to where God will renew your mind through the Word, because some of your perceptions still need to be renewed. You still have some distrust of people, places, and things because of the trauma you experience in life. And so it prevents you from drawing closer to people in this community because you're afraid somebody's going to hurt you. You need a renewal of the mind. If you have trauma-shaped responses, you need a renewal of your mind. The next thing we need to understand is that surrender means dying to self every single day. In Luke 9:23-24, it says what? "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it." And so we talked about this during our Bible study, how he says deny himself. And so that word is the same word that is used when Peter denied Jesus three times in the midst of the courtyard. What did he say? "I don't know you." And so what Jesus is saying here is that we need to tell ourselves that I don't recognize you. I don't know you. Whenever that old self tries to come up to the surface and tries to step in front of the Holy Spirit-led self, then we need to tell our flesh-led self, I don't know you. See, the people around you, they still skeptical about Christians and church and everything, you know, institutional religion stuff, you know, those people. Yeah. It's because they keep seeing a bunch of Christians that are living contrary to the standard Jesus set. Because anytime the Holy Spirit has opportunity to stand forth and make God known, the self steps in front of him and says, you know what? I got this. I don't want them to think I'm weird. I got this. And so we need to deny ourselves. All right? And so to our ego, our self-centered ambitions, and to our flesh, we need to deny it the influence over our lives. Then he says, take up his cross. And so when you think about the cross was an instrument of execution. And so what he is saying here is that you need to put yourself to death. Completely surrender your personal rights, your preferences, and your will. I know the fast 6 to 6, you get around 12 and you'd be like, you know what? I'm going to have a cracker or something. But see, the whole thing is that you're not, when you give in, you're not disobeying a person, right? You're in essence disobeying the Lord. Because these things, when instruction is given, it's for a reason. It's because the longer you go, the less yourself has the strength to overcome what God is trying to do in your life. By the time you get to 6, yourself should have no more strength to say, I don't want to pray. It should get to the point to where you be like, you know what? I'm going to go another hour. Let me open up this word. You think about Jesus, right? So Jesus is ministering to the woman at the well. His disciples comes to him and says, Jesus, time for lunch. Jesus says what? My meat is to do the will of the Father. Have you ever been in that place where God is just has such an influence on your life at the moment to where you could care less about getting a hamburger? You could care less about watching TV. That's a place of surrender. That's that place of surrender where, like, you just said, okay, like, self is on a cross right now. It's that place that he wants us to get to where we're no longer in the way of his plan for the earth. Yes. How can you participate in the Great Commission where you always got your own agenda? We talk about it frequently. The Great Commission, go into all the world. But we got our own plan. We want to go into all the world because we want to get Instagram highlights on our new trip to an island or somewhere. But what if you go on vacation and your next vacation, God says to you, that family over there, I want you to go and encourage them. No, God, I'm on vacation right now. The disciple does not take a vacation from surrender. Surrender is a 24/7 thing. Because it gets to the point to where the surrendered life is not work. See, when you're not surrendered, everything about God seems like work. They say, okay, we're going to have a daily Bible reading. Oh, God. We're going to meet at the church for prayer at 6 o'clock. Oh, Lord. We're going to have a worship night. I hope they sing my favorite songs. It always seems like work. We say we're going to do a 21-day fast. All you can think about is all the meals you're going to miss. So we gotta think about this. The surrendered life is not a life of passive resignation. It's a life of active crucifixion, a daily decision to say, self, you do not run this life, Christ does. That means surrendering your offense when you want to retaliate. Holding your tongue is going to be easy when you learn the art of surrender. You ain't going to have to repent for saying something you know you shouldn't have said. Surrendering your timeline when God seems silent. God, I'm such years old. I should have been able to do this by now. Surrendering your plan when God opens a door you didn't choose. Every time you die to self, Christ rises more fully in you, and that is where your true life begins. The next thing we need to understand is that surrender produces contentment and supernatural peace. In Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, it says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then let's look at verse 11 to 13. Verse 11 to 13 says what? I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. And so we need to understand that contentment is something that you learn. Contentment is something. He said, I have learned. He didn't say, I have the supernatural grace. He said, I have learned that my circumstances do not determine my contentment because my contentment is found in Christ. And so when he tells us to stop worrying, because most modern-day Christians have a problem with worry. And so he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, we think about that line, right? And we say, okay, well, If I just lay it at the altar, let it go in God's hands, I mean, how am I sure he's going to actually do anything? That's the way most of us pray. It's like, okay, so you got a diagnosis from the doctor. They say, oh, I don't like the way that looks on the reading there. So let's use some more tests and come back. And so we say, okay, I'm going to pray about it. But I heard somebody who had the same thing, and maybe I might have that thing too. But he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and what will happen, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. That means it will become an umpire over your heart and your mind. Some of us are the worrywarts of our family. We can't ever just leave well enough alone. But he says, when you allow that peace to come and to set up residence, then what happens is anytime an intrusive thought is a thought that this maybe this won't work out. Intrusive thought is a thought that maybe God don't like me. An intrusive thought is maybe this time, you know, I didn't tithe enough. I didn't fast enough. I didn't pray enough. Because we think that the answers to prayer are tied 100% to our performance. But we need to understand this, that learning, contentment is not a personality trait. It is not a spiritual gift some people are born with. Paul says he learns through experience, through trials, through repeated cycles of trust. And so we need to understand this, that Christ is our sufficiency. We're not self-sufficient. We're Christ-sufficient. So Paul has learned how to live a life where he needs nothing beyond what Christ provides, because Christ provides everything. And so a lot of times we use that last verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, to power ourselves through as a motivational moment. But it's not a declaration of personal capability. It's a declaration of complete dependence on Christ. And so if you're losing sleep over your finances, your health, your relationships, your future, surrender is the cure. Learning to become Christ-sufficient. When you release your grip on outcomes and genuinely place your concerns in the hands of a sovereign, good, capable God, peace takes up residence in place that anxiety would often occupy. And so the surrendered life is not a worried life. It's the watched over life. And the last point I want to bring out is this, that surrender positions you for divine exaltation. In James 4:7-10, it says what? Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Then 1 Peter 5 verses 6 to 7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And so the first thing we're learning is that we have to first submit ourselves to God before we resist the devil. We have to first submit ourselves to God before we resist the devil. Again, the surrendered life is a life where you raise the white flag of your own life and say, I'm surrendering control to Christ. I'm surrendering all my worries to Christ. I'm giving everything over to Christ because he has it taken care of. Remember, it is not a life that is worried, but it's a life that is watched over, casting all your cares upon him because he's watching over you. You think that you're all in this by yourself, but you're not in this by yourself. You're in this with God. And so stop trying to promote yourself into the position that God has already prepared for you. Stop maneuvering, stop manipulating, stop self-marketing your way to significance, because the surrendered life says this, God, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I trust your timing. I release my agenda. And when you do this, When you really do this, when you do this from your heart, God will move mountains on your behalf. God will exalt you in ways that you have not known. He will open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. God will give you opportunities that you couldn't have manipulated for yourself in a million years. God will give you favor where favor don't exist. God will make a way where there seems to be no way when you surrender to God. And so I want to close with this image. In the ancient world, when a warrior was defeated in battle, the act of surrender was marked by one decisive gesture. He would drop his weapon, fall to his knees, and extend both hands, open, empty, and upward. Not in shame and acknowledgement and recognition that the battle had found its resolution, not in his own strength, but in submission to a greater power. And so how many of us today are fighting a battle? We're not fighting a battle against God's enemies, but against God himself. Fighting for control, wrestling with his will, clutching our plans, our timelines, our pain, our pride, and refusing to let go. Today, God is asking not for performance. He is not demanding your resume. He is not impressed with your religious activity. He is asking for that one thing that costs you everything and releases you into everything he has promised. He's asking for the surrendered life. So today I invite you to drop your weapons, open your hands, and fall to your knees. I want to close with this declaration. We are surrendered vessels in the hands of the Almighty God. We present our bodies, our minds, our wills, and our future as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. We refuse to be shaped by this world. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We take up our cross daily, and we declare that Christ lives in us. We cast every anxiety, every burden, every fear onto God because he cares for us. And we receive his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and we trust his appointed time to lift us into his perfect purpose. We are not defeated. We are surrendered. The surrendered life is a life God cannot stop blessing. In the matchless name of Jesus, we declare it, we receive it, and we walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a praise.
Hey, Pastor Steve Talbert here, and if today's message was impactful for you, and you said, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ, then I want you to just pray this prayer with me, because the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth, in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. And so right now, if you don't know what to pray, then pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead on the third day. And because you got up, I have new life in Christ. If you prayed that prayer, then what I want you to do is I want you to reach out to our ministry at events@ylmconnect.org. And we want to send you some resources to start your discipleship journey. And also, I want to encourage you to join us here on Sundays at 11:30 a.m. All right? And then join us for our Bible studies. And our Bible studies are on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Right now, we're actually doing them virtually. So definitely make sure that you send us your contact information. You can DM us in our boxes there, or you can send an email to events@ylmconnect.org. And what we'll do is we'll make sure that you have the most up-to-date information on how you can connect with us. And so once again, I am so excited that you made the decision today to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I also want to give you an opportunity, if you have any prayer needs, to actually email us again at events@ylmconnect.org. Send us your prayer request so that we can touch and agree with you for your breakthrough. And so I am Pastor Steve Talbert. On behalf of myself, my wife, Melissa Talbert, and our overseers, Dr. Willie, Dr. Mamie Talbert, and the entire Yes Lord Ministries Church family, we're so happy that you made this decision today, and we want to say to you, welcome home. God bless you.
Stay connected and grow in your faith with our mobile app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store today. Join us for weekly services at 11:30 each Sunday morning. Our location is 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Every Wednesday morning from 5:30 a.m. to 5:45 a.m. join us for corporate prayer. Our call-in number is 716-427-1096 and the access code is 172268#. Every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock join us for our midweek Bible encounter. We are currently meeting virtually during the winter months. Partner with YLM financially using the following methods. The YLM mobile app. Text GIVE to 1-844-948-3895. Cash App $YesLordM. On Givelify, search for Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Our website. Visit www.ylmconnect.org and click donate. Mail checks and money orders to Yes Lord Ministries, Post Office Box 425, Union, New Jersey 07083.